ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، we continue with our discussion of Al-Ubudiyya by Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله. And this is our sixth meeting, we have in the last one or two times been discussing things concerning people who basically they are Sufis, some of the Sufi understandings or beliefs, that one can reach a stage where he would not be required to do things that the other people, the common Muslims would have to do. And we got to the point where Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ ذَلِكَ, whoever does not know that, which means that this is a big mistake and a belief of kufr, which means an item of disbelief or an act of disbelief. Anyone who does not know this, he says, عَرِّفَهُ وَبُيِّنَ لَهُ, he should be, it should be explained to him and clarified to him that this is so. فَإِنْ أَصَرَّ عَلَى اعْتِقَادِهِ عَلَى اعْتِقَادِ سُقُوتِ الْأَمْرِ وَالنَّهِي فَإِنَّهُ يُقْتَلْ, if he insists on believing that the command and the prohibition drop from some people, فَإِنَّهُ يُقْتَلْ, then he should be killed, which means killed by the Muslim ruler, of course. وَقَدْ كَثُرَتْ مِثْلُ هَذِهِ الْمَقَالَاتِ فِي الْمُسْتَأْخِرِينَ, that's where we got last time, so we continue from that. He says, وَقَدْ كَثُرَتْ مِثْلُ هَذِهِ الْمَقَالَاتِ فِي الْمُسْتَأْخِرِينَ, which means many such statements have become widespread among the later people. وَأَمَّا الْمُتَقَدِّمُونَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ فَلَمْ تَكُنْ هَذِهِ الْمَقَالَاتُ مَعْرُوفَةٌ فِيهِمْ, مَعْرُوفَةً فِيهِمْ. As for the earlier of this ummah, such statements were not known to them. وهذه المقالات هي محادة لله ورسوله ومعاداة له وصد عن سبيله. جزاك الله خيرا. Which means, Allah bless you. Which means such statements are opposition, which means they constitute opposition to Allah and His Messenger. وَمُعَادَاتٌ لَهُ, and enmity against Him, declaring enmity against Him, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَصَدٌ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ, and turning people away from His way. وَمُشَاقَّةٌ لَهُ, and they are also like a muhadda, which means against, opposing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَكْذِيبٌ لِرُسُلِهِ, and denial of the message of His messengers. وَمُدَابَّةٌ لَهُ فِي حُكْمِهِ, and they are also opposing to Him in regard to His commands subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these, which means such statements, are great atrocity and great deviation from the beliefs of Islam. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَنْ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ الْمَقَالَاتِ قَدْ يَجْهَلُ ذَلِكَ, even though some of the people who say such things may not know this. So it's possible that they would not know this. Some people ignorantly would say such things. وَيَعْتَقِدُ أَنَّ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ عَلَيْهُ هُوَ طَرِيقُ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, وطريق أولياء الله محققين. And he would think that that thing which he is doing or which he is believing in is the way of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and the way of the close friends or allies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who know what they are doing. محققين, which means who have discerned what is right from what is wrong and know what they are doing. فهو في ذلك بمنزلة من يعتقد أن الصلاة لا تجب عليه. So he is in that regard like a person who would assume or think that the prayer is not required for him or obligatory for him, لاستغنائه عنها, because he is in no need of it. بما حصل له من الأحوال القلبية, because of what he has attained of the situations of the heart, which means he may think that his heart has become so elevated, so much better than the common hearts that he doesn't need the prayer anymore. أو أن الخمر حلال له لكونه من الخواص الذين لا يضرهم شرب الخمر. Or he may think that خمر is permissible for him because he is of this special people or the close people to Allah, that is, who are not harmed by drinking khamr. أو أن الفاحشة حلال له لأنه صار كالبحر لا تكدره الذنوب. Or he would claim that فاحشة, great sinning or zina for example, is permissible for him because he has attained a level such that he is like the sea. He is not harmed by any dirt. So like the sea, whatever dirt goes to it, it cleans it, cleanses it. Similarly, he thinks about himself like that, and so on. ونحو ذلك ونحو ذلك. ولا ريب أن المشركين الذين كذبوا الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يترددون بين البدعة المخالفة لشرع الله وبين الاحتجاج بالقدر على مخالفة أمر الله. And there is no doubt, he is saying, that the mushrikeen who have denied the message of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, who disbelieved in him, they are between two things. يترددون, which means they go from one thing to the other, or they are between two stations or two positions. Either they commit bid'ah innovations which are contradictory or conflict with the shara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that's the one extreme, which is their bid'ah are to the level that they take them out of the realm of Islam. That's the one extreme. The other possibility for them, وَبَيْنَ الْاحْتِجَاجِ بِالْقَدَرِ عَلَى مُخَالَفَةِ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, or that they justify their disobedience to the commands of Allah by Al-Qadr. So they use Al-Qadr as their justification to disobey the shara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how al-mushrikeen are. So they are between these two, which means, it doesn't mean that it's not actually correct to say that they are two extremes. It is like two things that they may do, one of them or the other or both, the mushrikeen. So these are the major things that cause the deviation of the mushrikeen, of those who join partners with Allah Azza wa Jal or who disbelieve in Allah. So فَهَؤُلَاءِ الْأَصْنَافِ فِيهِمْ شَبَهُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ لِأَنَّهُمْ إِمَّا أَنْ يَبْتَدِعُوا وَإِمَّا أَنْ يَحْتَجُّوا بِالْقَدَرِ. He says such people, those who claim they are Muslims but they have these deviant beliefs that we have discussed earlier, he says there is similarity between them and the mushrikeen. They are in a sense like the mushrikeen because they either commit bid'ah in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, or they وَإِمَّا يَحْتَجُّ بِالْقَدَرِ, or they use Al-Qadr as their excuse to justify, you know, for them what they do, whatever wrong they do. They say, Allah has ordained it on me. وَإِمَّا أَنْ يَجْمَعَ بَيْنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ, or they would combine both things. So they would commit bid'ah and they would also use the Qadr as an excuse to justify their deviance. As Allah Azza wa Jalla said about the mushrikeen, He said, وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً قالوا وجدنا عليها آباءنا والله أمرنا بها قل إن الله لا يأمر بالفحشاء أتقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون. Which means when they commit a fahisha, a great sin, they say وجدنا عليها آباءنا. They say we have found our fathers or our forefathers doing it. والله أمرنا بها. And Allah has commanded us to do it. Which means Allah has decreed it on us, in other words. قل إن الله لا يأمر بالفحشاء أتقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون. Tell them, Allah is telling His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, tell them, قل إن الله لا يأمر بالفحشاء. Allah does not command people to commit the sins. Which means Allah does not force them to commit the sins. That's what it means here. So Amr here is the they refer to the Qadari Amr, which means the command for things to be, as we have discussed before, the Qadari Amr or the Qadari command, which means the command of the decree, that He decrees something to be. So they claim that Allah decreed on them to commit the sins, therefore it is justifiable for them. Say, tell them, Allah does not command people to commit sins. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ الْفَحْشَاءَ. Now here, this command is the Shari'i command. The Shari'i command, which means Allah in His law, He does not command people to commit sins. Even though in His decree, He has decreed the sins. Everything is recorded and written. But that does not mean that He commands them or he forces them to commit the sins. قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ الْفَحْشَاءَ أَتَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. عَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. Do you claim against Allah things which you do not know? And also Allah said about them, كما قال تعالى عنهم سيقول الذين أشركوا لو شاء الله ما أشركنا ولا آباؤنا ولا حرمنا من شيء. Which means the disbelievers will say, if Allah wills or willed, had Allah willed, we would not have committed sins, nor would our parents have committed sins, that is. وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا شَيْءٍ. And we would not have prohibited anything that He does not want us to prohibit, that is. So that is what they say. Again, they attribute the sinning, their sinning, to the mashi'a, to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the way of the disbelievers. Here there is a quick reference in the previous ayah. There is a clear reference that to their fathers as well. That is that they also are following the way of their fathers. So the way of their fathers is also taken as a justification to commit the disobedience. وَقَدْ ذُكِرَ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مَا ابْتَدَعُوهُ مِنَ الدِّينِ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَحْلِيلُ الْحَرَامِ وَالْعِبَادَةُ الَّتِي لَمْ يَشْرَعَهَا اللَّهُ. And it has been mentioned, which means in the Quran, about the mushrikeen, what they have, or the Quran that is has described about what the mushrikeen have innovated in the deen of that which contains or includes tahleelul haram. Tahleelul haram means making something prohibited, make it permissible. Okay? So changing the law of Allah so that something which is haram they make it halal, permissible. وَالْعِبَادَ الَّتِي لَمْ يَشْرَعَهَا اللَّهُ. And also performing or legislating some acts of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not legislate. So ذُكِرَ means Allah mentioned that about them. بِمِثْلِ قَوْلِهِ, like His saying subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَالُوا هَذِهِ أَنْعَامٌ وَحَرْثٌ حِجْرٌ لا يطعمها إلا من نشاء بزعمهم وأنعام حرمت ظهورها وأنعام لا يذكرون اسم الله عليها افتراء عليه إلى آخر السورة. Which means the disbelievers say هذه أنعام وحرث حجر. These are An'am means animals, like farm animals, or animals that you can eat, like cows and sheep and so on, goats. So they say These are animals, وَحَرْثٌ, and also plantation, plants that they plant, crops that they get from the earth. حِجْرٌ, these are حِجْرٌ, which means prohibited, or they are restricted. حِجْرٌ لَا يَطْعَمُهَا إِلَّا مَنْ نَشَاءُ, nobody can eat from them except those whom we will for them, or we allow them to eat them. So they make it, they make some things restricted, halal or haram, for some people based on their own judgment or innovation. بِزَعْمِهِمْ, by their claim, that is their claim, that is. إِلَّا مَنْ نَشَاءُ بِزَعْمِهِمْ وَأَنْعَامٌ حُرِّمَتْ ظُهُورُهَا, and some animals it is prohibited to ride them, their backs, which means to ride them. So they make them like, you know, the Hindus. They do not allow, They do not allow riding some cows, right? Or they respect them so that they are not allowed to be ridden. Okay. So that's how it is here. This is referring to the Jews here, that they have made some laws and they have prohibited things and allowed things. So they say, for example, some of the animals, it's not mentioned here, the ayah, but it is part of the ayah that he is referring to, because he says up to the end of the ayah. Let's finish explaining it, translating this, this rough translation, and then inshallah we will refer to the other ayah. So he says, وَأَنْعَامٌ حُرِّمَتْ ظُهُورُهَا, and some animals that it is prohibited, their backs are prohibited, which means it's prohibited to ride them. وَأَنْعَامٌ لَا يَذْكُرُونَ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا افْتِرَاءً عَلَيْهِ, and some animals, they do not mention Allah's name over them, which means when they slaughter them, افْتِرَاءً عَلَيْهِ, claiming, making up lies against Allah, which means Allah did not tell them that there are cases where you cannot mention Allah's name when you slaughter an animal, but they say some animals you should not mention Allah's name and things like that. To إلى آخر السورة, he says until the end of this surah, Surah Al-An'am. So he brings ayah number 138, and then he says and so on to the end of the surah, which means from there till ayah 165 is a general reference to in general it's a reference and refutation of some of the claims of the Jews in that case and similar cases. So for example, they say some animals only the males can eat them, but not the women, not the females, or our wives cannot eat them, or things like that, or cannot eat from them, or some part of the animals is permissible to eat, other parts are not permissible to eat, and some places of the fat on the animal is permissible to eat it if it is from certain parts of the body but not from other parts, and so on. So they have prohibited many things without the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then Allah Azza wa Jal refutes that by saying قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُوا مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ, say, come here, I will tell you what your Lord has prohibited for you. And then in three ayat Allah Azza wa Jal gives in detail what are the things that are truly prohibited and what are not. Okay, and then the ayah continues to say that what he sent to me, to Musa, and so on. So this is the way of the disbelievers, the Jews and people like them, that they have innovated in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal by, as we said, by تحليل الحرام والعبادة التي لم يشرع الله, by making permissible that which is prohibited, or the other way around actually, as we have seen in some of the examples and as we mentioned earlier, والعبادة التي لم يشرعها الله, or by introducing acts of worship that were not legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, وكذلك في سورة الأعراف في قوله تعالى, also in سورة الأعراف, in Allah saying يا بني آدم لا يفتننكم الشيطان كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة, O human beings, let not Satan test you or try you or influence you as he had before driven your parents out of Jannah. Okay, so do not let him do similar things to you. And then the ayah continues there, or the ayat until Allah Azza wa Jal says in the same surah, وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا أَبَاءَنَا وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَنَا بِهَا. وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا أَبَاءَنَا وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَنَا بِهَا. This we have mentioned earlier. This is the same ayah that we have mentioned just a little bit earlier. قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ تَقْرَعَ اللَّهِ مَا لَتَعْلَمُونَ. So they claim when they commit a fahisha, a sin, they say we have seen or found our fathers doing it, or Allah commanded us to do it. Say Allah does not command people to commit sins. أَتَقُولُونَ عَلَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Are you attributing to Allah things that you do not know? قُلْ أَمَرَ رَبِّي بِالْقِسْطِ. Say, then Allah tells His Messenger to respond to their claims by saying, قُلْ أَمَرَ رَبِّي بِالْقِسْطِ. Say, my Lord has commanded fairness or justice, that you have to do things correctly. وَأَقِيمُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدِ. And to turn your faces at every place of prayer, which means for the prayer. And so on. إِلَى قَوْلِهِ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. And eat and drink, and do not be extravagant, because he does not love or like the extravagant ones. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Say, who has prohibited the adornment that Allah has sent out to His ibad, to His servants, and الطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ, and the good things of rizq, of providence, or providence. So who prohibited these? How can you prohibit this without a proof? And then he says later on, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. Similar to the other ayat in where Allah Azza wa Jalla responds to the Jews, here also he responds to the mushrikeen. After he says that this is not true what you are claiming, then he says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ. Say, verily, my Lord has prohibited fawahish, the great sins, ma zahara minha wa ma batan, and whatever is apparent of them and whatever is hidden. And fawahish mostly refer to things which are of the level of zina or zina itself. Wal ithma, and ithma, committing sins in general. Sometimes fawahish refers to sins by tongue, and ithm is sins in general. Wal-baghya. Wal-baghya means, there is a good discussion of this actually by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah in one of his books, where he gives the or tells what is the you know, the intricate difference between these words, fahisha and ithm. And baghya is easy, but fahisha and ithm, because sometimes they give the same meaning and sometimes they are very different meanings, like when they come in the same ayah as is here. وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, and transgressing without right. الْبَغْي is a kind of sin where one transgresses over the boundaries of other people. So he transgresses over other people. So it's not something that he committed by himself alone individually, but also he oppressed other people by what he did. That is al-baghi. So he oversteps the bound or transgresses. وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, without right. وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. Also he prohibited that you make shirk, join with Allah Azza wa Jal that which he did not give you a right to, or a proof for it, or an evidence for it. وَأَنْ تَقُولَ عَلَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And also prohibited is to say about Allah, or to attribute to Allah that which you do not know. Now he goes back to say, وَهَؤُلَاءِ قَدْ يُسَمُّونَ مَا أَحْدَثُوهُ مِنَ الْبِدَاءِ حَقِيقَةً. Those which are, that is the Muslims who commit their innovations, they may call the bid'ah, the innovation that they have committed, they may call it haqiqah, reality, truth. And this is what, this is a common word among the Sufis, that they talk about the haqiqah, that they have reached the level of truth, of reality, of seeing things that the other people are not able to see. كما يسمون ما يشهدون من القدر حقيقة, as also they would call whatever they witness or claim that they have witnessed of al-qadr, that they are at the level where they can observe things and see things clearly, they call this haqiqa, the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that is, they can witness it whereas other people are unaware of what's going on. That's what they claim. So they call this haqiqa and they call their innovation haqiqa. So both their transgression regarding al-qadr or deviation regarding al-qadr and their deviation regarding al-qadr and their innovation in the deen, they call it haqiqa or reality. Whereas it is the worst thing that they do, both of them are the sources and the main reasons for their deviation. وطريق الحقيقة عندهم هو السلوك الذي لا يتقيد صاحبه بأمر الشارع ونهيه. And to such people, or for those people, the way to the truth is to do things such that, or whereby you do not have, or you are not restricted when you do them by the command of Ash-Shara or his prohibition. Ash-Shara refers to the legislator. Ash-Shara literally means legislator. Many times you find in the scholars' books or writings that they use Ash-Shara instead of Allah Azza wa Jal, because it becomes more general word. It means whatever was legislated either by him directly or through whatever he revealed to his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sunnah of his messengers. So Ash-Shara is the one who gave us Ash-Shara, and the Shara did not necessarily all come in a direct clear way from Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, but it came from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a more general word to mean the one, the legislator. It means actually Allah Azza wa Jalla in an indirect way. So when we say the command of Ash-Shara is the one who made Ash-Shara. Ash-Shara is the legislation, is the deen of Islam, the commands and the prohibition. So they consider their position of not being restricted by or tied up by or controlled by Shara, they consider that to be the attaining the level of truth. So they do not restrict themselves by that, ولكن بما يراه ويذوقه ويجده في قلبه. Rather, they follow whatever they see or taste or feel in their heart, مع ما فيه من غفلة عن الله جل وعلا ونحو ذلك. Despite what that contains of غفله, of unawareness about Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And so on. وهؤلاء لا يحتجون بالقدر مطلقا. And those people, they do not. Now he's talking specifically about the people that he mentioned in the last paragraph. He says such people لا يحتجون بالقدر مطلقا. They never justify their acts by al-qadr. بل عمدتهم اتباع آرائهم وأهوائهم. Rather, their support in what they do is following their opinions and their desires. وجعلهم لما يرونه ويهوونه حقيقة, and that they make that which they see, which means that which they opine, which they take as an opinion, they turn it into a حقيقة, a reality or a truth. وأمرهم باتباعها دون اتباع أمر الله ورسوله, and that they command people to adhere to it instead of adhering to the command of Allah and His Messenger. نظير بدع أهل الكلام من الجهمية وغيرهم. Similar to the innovations of the people of Kalam, the people of the philosophy who introduced philosophy in the deen, من الجهمية وغيرهم, such as الجهمية and others. الذين يجعلون ما ابتدعوه من الأقوال المخالفة للكتاب والسنة حقائق عقلية يجب اعتقادها دون ما دلت عليه السمعيات. Thus, Jahmiya and people like them, they make what that which they have innovated of statements or beliefs that are contradictory to the book and sunnah. Jahmiya means mu'attila, those who hanging up or making things, removing the reality of the meanings. So those Jahmiya are the same as Mu'attila, or sometimes we call them Mu'attila. We call them Jahmiya, relating them to Jahm bin Safwan, who is the first one who made their beliefs public, or their bid'ah, their innovation were made public by Jahm bin Safwan. So they were attributed to him, Al-Jahmiya. So Al-Jahmiya are of the people of kalam, of speech, which means people who talk with things which are useless, which are not based on the evidence from the book and the sunnah. So they are called the people of kalam. And so they use philosophical discussions. بدعوا أهل الكلام من الجهمية وغيرهم of الجهمية and others الذين يجعلون ما ابتدعوه من الأقوال المخالفة للكتاب والسنة حقائق عقلية. Those who make whatever they have innovated of sayings that contradict the book and the sunnah, they make it حقائق عقلية, mental realities. يجب اعتقادها, that must be believed in. دون ما دلت عليه السمعيات, instead of what السمعيات indicate. And السمعيات means the heard things. السمعيات, which means the things that were transmitted to us through hearing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So السمعيات, things that we heard with evidence, which means the texts, the authentic texts of the book and the sunnah. So instead of the authentic texts, they say, no, we follow whatever our opinions direct us or tell us that it is right. ثم الكتاب والسنة إما أن يحرف القول فيهما عن مواضعه وإما أن يعرض عنه بالكلية. And then as for the book and the sunnah, they would either twist the statements in them or the sayings in them, twist them by changing ammawadiyah, which means displace it from its exact position, original position. That is literally, that's what it means. يحرفون الكلمة عن مواضعه, as Allah said about the Jews, that's what they do. So either, which means, when you take the words and displace them from where they were supposed to be, that means you have changed the whole meaning. That's what it is. So يحرفون الكلمة عن مواضعه means they twist, they change, they deform the meanings. يحرف القول فيهما مواضيع وإما أن يعرض عنه بالكلية. So they either change the meanings of the statements and texts of the book and sunnah, or they would totally, absolutely, fully turn away from them. فلا يتدبرونه ولا يعقلونه. So they would neither try to understand it or contemplate over it. بل يقولون نفوض معناه إلى الله. Rather they would say, we let Allah عز وجل, or the meaning of this, we leave it for Allah, the meaning of these things. So in other words, they do not try to, or they do not accept the apparent meanings of the text. Rather they say they have no meaning, and what Allah knows why he said this. Allah, we let leave it to Allah, we leave the meaning to Allah. While at the same time they believe in the contrary to what the texts indicate. Even the contrary to what the texts indicate. Such as, to give a quick example, when we say that Allah istawa al-arsh, Allah rose above the throne. So they say Allah istawa, it cannot have happened really. They believe that there is no meaning to that text. There's no meaning, and you are not supposed to believe in a meaning for that text. So that is ta'til. They believe, they say, al-istiwa ma'lum. Istiwa is known, what istiwa is. How they say it? Wal-kayfu ghayru ma'qul. And the modality of it, the how it happened, it's not possible, they say. Instead of saying it's Allah, we do not know it, we cannot encompass it with our knowledge, they say it is impossible. غير معقول. So that's what they believe in regard to many of the, which means they do not believe actually in the statements of the sifat, of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. So they say we leave the meaning to Allah, but actually they believe the opposite. They believe that Allah does not rise over the throne. They believe that Allah does not have hands, even though it says يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْهِ and so on. They say we cannot say anything about this, so we leave it to Allah as in regard to the meaning. وإذا حقق على هؤلاء ما يزعمونه من العقليات المخالفة للكتاب والسنة وجدت جهليات واعتقادات فاسدة. He says, if one investigates for those people whatever they claim of العقليات, of the mental belief that they have, that they claim that they have established on their intellect. So if one investigates these beliefs that they claim that they reached them through their intellect, the belief that they contradict the book and the sunnah, وجد الجهليات, one would find that they are actually ignorance. Instead of intellectual and mental beliefs, it will be found out that they are beliefs of ignorance, وَاعْتِقَادَاتٌ فَاسِدَةٌ and invalid beliefs. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has written a great book, very big book, in refutation of whatever they say that this is what the intelligence, what the intellect leads to, and whatever you conclude from it, using your intellect, that contradicts the book and the sunnah. He has a book, great book, refuting everything they say, every single matter, and proving that whatever they claim to contradict the book and the sunnah, that is because their method or their conclusion is wrong, and the premises they base their derivation on is invalid. So he proves from their own ways that they are contradictory in whatever claims they make. And that book is called Dar'u wa Iqsaruhu, Ta'arud al-Aql wal-Naql, the refutation that there is a contradiction between al-Aql, the intellect, wal-Naql, and the transmitted text, that is, the transmitted things. وَكَذَلِكَ أُولَٰئِكَ. Also for those people, إذا حقق عليهم ما يزعمونه من حقائق أولياء الله ومخالفة الكتاب والسنة وجدت من الأهواء التي يتبعها أعداء الله لا أولياءه. Those people also, if one would investigate what they claim in regard to what they call the truth or the realities of the أولياء, the close friends or allies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those that they call them awliya, if one would investigate what they attribute to them, or what they consider, those awliya consider as being the realities, when they are contradictory to the book and sunnah, وَجِدَتْ مِنَ الْأَهْوَاءِ الَّتِي يَتَّبِعُهَا أَعْدَاءُ اللَّهِ لَا أُولِيَاءُ, it will be found that they are actually, those are actually of the desires. They are not reality, they are desires that are followed by the enemies of Allah, not by His friends. By Allah's enemies, not by His friends or allies. وأصل ضلال من ضل هو بتقديم قياسه على النص المنزل من عند الله وتقديم اتباع الهوى على اتباع أمر الله. And the foundation for the misguidance of anyone who is misguided is that he puts his qiyas, his what is the qiyas?
reasoning, yeah, he comes his reasoning here. His reasoning, putting that ahead of the text that is revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have a clear-cut text, a clear, simple, obvious meaning, and they say, but my intellect says such and such, my reason says so and so. وتقديم اتباع الهوى على اتباع امر الله, and that they put their hawa, their desires, ahead of the adherence to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فإن الذوق والوجد ونحو ذلك هو بحسب ما يحبه العبد, فكل محب له ذوق ووجد بحسب محبته. Which means الذوق means taste, actually, literally. And wajd means, these two are words that became in the past common, what you call them, coined words, is there such a thing? Coined words, or like words that are used among the Sufis specifically. Zawq, when they say that somebody has zawq, and wajd, zawq, even though it means taste, and wajd is some kind or some level of love that affects the heart and affects the whole being of the person and the way that he acts. And actually they say that when a person, the Sufis that is, when a person is in a situation of wajd, then when he hears certain things, he starts swaying right and left, because of how this wajd has affected his being. Okay, so wajd and dawq are words that were mustalah, we say, or fundamental words among the Sufis. So he says, actually, a dawq and wajd and other things like that, they are in accordance for what a person, or in accordance with what a servant loves. فكل محب له ذوق ووجد بحسب محبته. And every loving person, whatever he loves, of whatever he loves, he has ذوق ووجد, he has taste, and he is influenced at heart by what, in accordance with his love. فأهل الإيمان لهم من الذوق والوجد. The people of Iman, they have taste and وجد, are influenced. مثل ما بينه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, as was explained by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم بقوله في الحديث الصحيح, in his statement in the authentic hadith. Now here, before I explain the hadith which you have heard many times, it should be indicated or emphasized that, you know, normally we should not apply the words that are not from the Sunnah to the people of Sunnah and to the people of who are following the Shara. Like here, he's saying that the people of Iman, they have Zawq and Wajd. We should not use the word Zawq and Wajd with the people of Iman, because they are words that were invented by the Sufis. But I think that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is using them in just to refute that, saying that whatever you call Zawq and Wajd for the people of Iman, for the true Muslims, they are not what you talk about, but they are something else, as explained in this hadith. And he mentioned the hadith. ثلاث من كنا فيه وجد بهن حلاوة الإيمان. There are three things, whoever has them in him, وجد حلاوة الإيمان, he would find the sweetness of Iman. So he is calling that الوجد والذوق, the sweetness, to find the taste of sweetness of Iman. What are they? من كان الله ورسوله أحب إليه من سواهما. One to whom Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to him than anyone else. ومن كان يحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله. And one who, when he loves a person, he only loves him for Allah. He only loves him for Allah. ومن كان يكره أن يرجع في الكفر بعد إذ أنقذه الله منه كما يكره أن يلقى في النار. And the one who hates to go back to disbelief after Allah has saved him from it, like he hates to be thrown into the fire. This hadith is recorded by Bukhari, Muslim, and many other books of hadith. And وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الصحيح also رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the authentic hadith recorded by Muslim, At-Tirmidhi and others from Al-Abbas رضي الله عنه. The first hadith is the narrator is Anas رضي الله عنه. He said ذاق طعم الإيمان من رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي. ذاق طعم الإيمان. He indeed has tasted the taste of Iman, who من رضي بالله ربا, the one who accepts Allah as the Lord, وبالإسلام دينا, and Islam as the religion, وبمحمد النبي, and Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم as the prophet. وأما أهل الكفر والبدع والشهوات فكل بحسبه. And as for the people of disbelief or innovation or desires, then each one in his accordance, which means we have seen how the people of Iman, what affects their hearts, what is it, what is what kind of taste of dhawq affects them, what is it? It is loving Allah and His Messenger more than anything else, and so on. The one who accepts Allah as Lord, Islam as a deen, Muhammad as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is what brings them the sweetness of Iman, the sweetness into their hearts. That's what gives them what he called it, as we said. But as for the people of Kufr, the people of Bid'ah, the people of desires, each one in his accordance, which means according to his situation. So whatever influences them is according to their situation. قيل لسفيان بن عيينة ما بال أهل الأهواء لهم محبة شديدة لأهوائهم. سفيان بن عيينة was asked, why is it that the people of أهواء, as we said, هوى means desire, but when they talk, we mentioned this I think earlier, before in the previous meeting, that when we say أهل الأهواء and أهواء in these past, in the early centuries of Islam, they usually used to refer by that to the people who innovated in their beliefs, in their aqidah, like the Shia, like the Qadariya, like the Jabriya, like the Mu'tazila. These are the people of Ahwa. So these specifically, they mean them. So he was asked, why is it that the people of Ahwa, of desires, these desires specifically, they love their desires so much? They love their desires so much, and desires mean their deviation, their beliefs, deviant beliefs. Why do they love them so much? He said, أَنَسِيْتَ قَوْلَهُ تَعَالَى وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ.
Have you forgotten Allah saying that they have been saturated with the love of the kuf because of their disbelief, which means about the Jews. The Jews, they have the love of the kuf, which is something that they made. They loved it so much that because of their disbelief. أو نحو هذا من الكلام, or something like that.
This is, subhanAllah, is very important. Maybe after the Isha prayer I can talk a little more about things related to this. And we have to stop soon. Whatever I say after Isha is just, will be a discussion around this without a direct translation from Al-Abudiyah by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He says, فَعُبَّادُ الْأَصْنَامِ يُحِبُّونَ أَلِهَتَهُمْ. So the people who worship idols, they love their gods. As Allah says, كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Which means, among the people there are those who take, instead of Allah, andada, people equal to Him in their beliefs, in their hearts. That is, the gods that they take. They love them like the love of Allah, or like the love of Allah is supposed to be. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. But those who believe, their love of Allah is stronger. They have a stronger love of of Allah, and so on. He brings a couple of other ayat, and I think maybe the adhan is in 1 minute. Okay, we can get over one more ayah. وَقَالَ فَإِنَّ بِيَسْتَجِيبُ لَكَ فَعَلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ يَتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ بِغَيْرِ هُدًى مِنَ اللَّهِ. Which means, if they do not respond to you, then know that they only follow their desires. And who is more misguided than the one who follows his desire without a guidance from Allah? And he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنْ يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَمَا تَهْوَى الْأَنْفُسُ وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمُ الْهُدَى. They only follow the dhann, the doubts, and that which the nafs desires, the soul's desire. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمُ الْهُدَى, at the time when guidance came to them from their Lord. So inshallah we stop here, and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, I saw a card, a business card, a couple of days ago, which says on it, gives the name of a person called Ahmed, and under it it says disc jockey, Arabian or Arabic music disc jockey. And this card was distributed in a wedding that was held last weekend. And the wedding, you know, like many weddings that we have seen recently, that they contain, not seen, observed, I mean, that we heard about recently, they contain many violations to Islam. And this is to remind everyone that first of all, music is haram, there is no doubt about it among the ulama. And whoever of the ulama disagreed in the past, and usually people refer to Ibn Hazm, everybody after him refuted him, and everybody before him have made ijma' to the contrary. So whoever wants to say that music is permissible, now what do they say about women dancing under the eyes of men in weddings, and mixing of men and women, and other things that, you know, weddings now contain so much prohibitions, so many prohibitions are done in them, that I don't know whether this is a wedding or an act of disobedience to Allah that is witnessed by many Muslims who consider themselves to be, you know, people who adhere to the masjid, who come to the regular prayers and things like that, or their women attend the weddings when they are like that. So we have to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. And those who want to hold weddings with music and dancing and things like that, then let them do them in secret. If they do not want to obey Allah Azza wa Jal, let them not invite the people of Iman and of adherence to the Sunnah, and then make them witnesses to their disobedience. Let their weddings be like a funeral that is done in a corner for a disobedient person, instead of publicizing it with all the acts of disobedience that are associated with it. And this person, subhanAllah, he has no shame that his name is Ahmed, the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and under it, Arabian music DJ or disc jockey, which means he is proclaiming that he is one of the fussaq, one of the deviants, when his name is Muhammad or Ahmed, the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how we Muslims would find it in our hearts to give money to such a fasiq to come and attend and mar, actually, our occasions that are supposed to be of the most happy occasions for us. A happy occasion for us, we turn it into an evil occasion, that on the day of judgment will be sorry for it. So this is an example that shows the great sinful situation in which our ummah is, and that is usually most apparent in cases when they are supposed to be most obedient, most thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal that He has allowed them a situation of happiness. Instead of that, they become most disobedient, and they think that they have the justification in these cases to do whatever they want of disobedience, and that Allah will forgive it to them. So this is a reminder to the fathers, to the parents, to the men, to the women who hold such an occasion, that they should fear Allah Azza wa Jal, and for everyone else that he should fear Allah if he finds munkar in any such occasion, to leave and not be there, so that these people realize that Islam has dignity, and that you cannot insult Muslims by inviting, and then when they go there they find that there is so much disobedience taking place. As we know that one of the Sahaba, he went into a house invited for a walima or for wedding, and he found that they put a curtain to cover a wall. And he said, "Didn't you know that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited covering the walls with curtains?" And he said, "Well, the women have done it. Carpet on the wall." He said, "The women have done this." So he said, "You say that, but," and it is another one of the Sahaba, "You say that, I will not sit at all," and he left. Just for this little thing. So now what when we see women uncovered, painted with all different kinds of, makeup, and mixing with the men, laughing with them, not caring about, adhering to the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to have shahama and ghayra in our hearts. We have to have concern about the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we have to stay away from any place where the disobedience is done. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا, and those when they see lagu, when they see any bad acts or words, they pass by it with dignity. And وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا مَرُّوا إِذَا أعرضوا عنه والذين إذا سمعوا اللغو أعرضوا عنه وقالوا لنا أعمالنا ولكم أعمالكم سلام عليكم لا نبتغي الجاهلين. And those when they hear اللغو, the evil words or evil acts or things like that, they turn away from it and they say to us, are our deeds, to you your deeds, do whatever you want. سلام عليكم, peace be to you. لا نبتغي الجاهلين, we do not want or seek to be with the ignorant people. So how the situation of a true believer should be, that he would not be a partner to an act of disobedience, because then on the day of judgment Allah will ask him, why did you help with that, with your presence, with such an act of disobedience? So I hope that this is a reminder for all of us who are here, and so that we can carry it to those who are not here. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
One more note, inshallah, before you go. Today one brother called me from Canada, from Toronto, and he was complaining about the situations in the different masajid, and how they have a chaotic fatwa situation. Everybody gives his own fatwa based on knowledge. And he told me about many other unfortunately negative situations in the masjid. And he said that recently they came to the masjid and they found a Muslim sister with her hijab kissing, you see, a Muslim brother who are from the regular. The abstinence from observing the Islamic etiquette, many people argue very much about why we isolate women, why women should have should participate in the men's activities. But this is the result. If we really don't observe the Islamic etiquettes and respect the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the result. You find, you see, men and women kissing in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some other Muslim told me that in certain situations they found some Muslim students, male and female, committing the haram in the Islamic school. So this is when we don't respect the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know of a man who used to argue against this separation for a long time, and he is very deeply and convinced that this is not the right situation to separate between men and women. And after years, I again discussed with him, and he said, I found out that this is the right thing.